11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill, Alex Dunn and Pete Farries with you to focus on the best of the action coming up this weekend. First of all in the FA Cup, then in the Championship, and then Gav Puszczalowski and Al Ross will be along to look at the best of the games in League One and League Two. Bit of a fragmented week this week, isn't it, Pete?
It is. It's one of those weeks where there's so much value, but the OCD in me comes out and I go, oh, I can't all just be in individual compartmented leagues. but there is so much stuff. The FA Cup's going to be great. I think there might be one or two shocks in the FA Cup. You know, we've got some Championship, League One's, you know, pretty much full calendar. League Two's a pretty much full calendar. So it's going to be good. There's loads of ways this week to have a few quid, and I know that Gav and Al have picked out some of their great pokes. But back to Napp winning ways as well last week, Alex, which was pleasant after a brief sojourn into failure. It was nice to get back to a brief amount of success. So I'm just chasing Al down, physically as well.
Quite literally chasing him down.
Yeah. Only one winner of that race.
Well, we've got one televised game. But the thing is, if you listen to The Punt, basically, The Punt is covering the majority of FA Cup games. I think they've got 10 games on there. Basically, any game that features at least one Premier League side is covered on The Punt.
Yeah.
So that's nice and sorted. Listen to The Punt with Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin, Derek McGovern, if you want to hear the big games, if you like, in the FA Cup, with no disrespect to the other sides.
No, I mean, what I've got to say here, just to jump in briefly, you and I yesterday briefly had a chat with Dave Kellner, who, of course, will be on that Punt podcast, of which you speak, Alex. And it was another one of those examples where I truly saw the kind of person that Dave Kellner is.
Mm.
You know, how unpleasant and kind of despotic Dave Kellner can be. So we went in, you know, cap in hand, polite, humble, weren't we?
Yeah.
We were humble, overrode us completely. I was having none of it, was he?
And he was Googling images of old women getting pushed over.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of man he is.
And just laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrible man, horrible.
But listen to The Punt, it's a great podcast.
No, listen, Tom Kerwin's fantastic. I've got all the time in the world for Tom Kerwin. I've never met Derek, so I can't say either way.
Oh, Derek McGovern is a very, very nice man.
Well, I've never met him, but Tom Kerwin is one of my loveliest favourite people.
Dave Kellner, deplorable individual.
Honestly, abhorrent.
Hashtag boycott The Punt. No, don't. Don't. But anyway, if you want to hear the Premier League stuff in the FA Cup, or the majority of the FA Cup games, they'll be on The Punt. There are three games that we're not going to talk about in the FA Cup that I'm going to talk about right now. Lincoln, Brighton, Rochdale, Huddersfield and Blackburn, Blackpool are all at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Lincoln against Brighton, Lincoln 15-4, the draw 13-5, Brighton 3-4. Rochdale at home to Huddersfield are 11-5, the draw 12-5, Huddersfield 6-5. And Blackburn at home to Blackpool, Blackburn are 4-5, the draw 11-4. And Blackpool are 16-5. If you fancy the three favourites in a treble, so that's Brighton at Lincoln, Huddersfield at Rochdale, and Blackburn at home to Blackpool, it's almost 6-1. Any thoughts on any of those games, Pete? Very quickly, because I said that we're not talking about these.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lincoln are good for a goal against Brighton. Brighton obviously had a crazy game last time out, and really their focus is on finally getting into the Premier League. You know, not to say that Chris Hughton won't care, but his impetus will not be in this game. So I'd look at maybe a +2 Lincoln, +1 Lincoln, certainly to score. Blackburn, Blackpool, I have no strong opinion on. Personally, I think it's a tough game. You could look towards your card markets there, possibly, with it being such a local game. But the one that I like here is Huddersfield at 6-5. Now, I know they're another side who will be focusing on trying to get a surprise promotion. But Rochdale went 10 wins in a row at home and then were battered at the weekend by Oxford. I mean battered. And Rochdale, with a team on my acca, I was like, right, Rochdale on, brilliant, they'll be fine. One down very quickly, and then they were just destroyed. And I think that, you know, that ability to pick yourself straight back up, especially against a Championship side, especially against a good Championship side, I think it might be difficult. So I think my favourite of the group would be Huddersfield there.
Okay. So we've got 5 games in the Championship. We're going to focus on those shortly, but we'll stick with the FA Cup for now. And one televised game that we're going to focus on this podcast is Sutton against Leeds. This one is on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and Sutton are 4-1. The draw is 14-5, and Leeds are in the betting at 4-6. Fantastic season so far from Leeds. We've spoken about them in depth on this podcast. They've done very little wrong. Yes, they may rotate here. They did that at Cambridge. They weren't massively impressive in the third round. They got the job done in the end, thanks to a decent second half performance and a few changes here and there. But people are going to be looking at this 4-6 and going, yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and I would as well. Like you said, I think the important thing to know here is that it's likely that Gary Monk will make changes. Not only because they played last night, so as we're talking Wednesday night, but also because they then play Wednesday again, don't they? They go to Blackburn Rovers on Wednesday at Ewood Park, and Blackburn will have had a bit more rest. And also, look, the league is the primary focus for Leeds United, quite correctly and quite understandably. They just look the real deal, don't they? I mean, last night was a perfect example of it, I felt. You know, it was a game where, in the Championship, loads of teams slip up out of nowhere. We know that because we talk about it every week. A bit like we talk about Leeds every week, because we're on telly every week. But last night they were so efficient. They were so efficient. And I know it took, you know, one of the goals was an absolute wonder goal, but they were already in control of the game at that point anyway, through Chris Wood. So they are a side who have to be really respected. 4-6, I was a little bit surprised about, I've got to say. You know, Sutton United are having a very, I'll just call it a middling season in the National League, which is okay. Nothing wrong with that. But really, even a second string Leeds United, as it probably will be, should be good enough to get past Sutton. Now, on Sutton's side, they've lost just 3 home games in the league this season, to Solihull Moors, to Braintree, and then bizarrely a 6-0 spanking quite recently the hands of Dover. But they're a rock-hard team to beat at the Borough Sports. They are a really, really hard team to beat. But then Leeds are a team who should go there and win. I'm not against, though, Leeds conceding, Alex.
I think I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not against Leeds conceding, especially as we think it's going to be a quote-unquote second-string side out there. They conceded against Cambridge, of course.
Well, I think that a lot of their good form has been down to Janssen and Bartley forming a formidable centre-back partnership.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And obviously Janssen's been out suspended and now he's back, and Bartley was rested against Cambridge in the third round. He ended up having to come on. But without those two together, even the other one looks a little bit more vulnerable, if that makes sense, let alone if neither of them play. I'm not suggesting that that'll be the case. I don't think Gary Monk will come here and put the kids out by any means. He's got actually a decent-sized squad at Leeds. He will rotate. But like I said, just those little key changes here and there, maybe Chris Wood not starting as well. Obviously, he's been in rampant form. That could just be enough to put people off, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or at least give Sutton a goal.
Well, that's what I mean. Mm. So Leeds in both teams is 12-5 in this market. I'm not against that at all. If you're thinking about it, it could be similar to what happened against Cambridge. There are ways to play that, of course, whether you play Sutton first goal, whether you play Leeds come from behind and win or draw, which is a market that I used to talk about quite a lot on this podcast, but I've kind of sort of drifted away from it a bit recently. But to come from behind and win or draw, Leeds are 17-2, which I think is quite a good price, quite to be honest with you, considering what happened last time.
Mm.
But my favourite Sutton bet here, my favourite Sutton bet is Matt Tubbs.
Mm-hmm.
At 14-5, you've just given me a big there, because I think you know what I'm going to be saying.
Agreed.
This guy absolutely loves the FA Cup. He loves the FA Cup. So, we go as far back as, 11 years ago, 2006. At that time, I think it was Salisbury City were part-time, and he scored in front of the TV cameras to get a replay against Forest. In 2011... Torquay knocked Crawley out. He was at Crawley and they knocked Torquay out, which got them to Manchester United and Old Trafford. Incredible, again. He got hat-tricks again and again in this competition. He scored for AFC Wimbledon, which got them to their match against Liverpool. He just loves this competition. And it's funny because I read an interview with him and he was saying, I don't kind of think this is the FA Cup. I'm going to go and really try extra hard to score. He said, but it just seems to happen.
Mm.
And I quite like that, especially if you think Sutton United are going to score. So 14-5 any time for Matt Tubbs is actually a very decent price. is actually a very decent price. I mean, you could even, theoretically, I had a look at this earlier on, look at Matt Tubbs to score, but Leeds to win, which is 17-2 as well, which is Leeds to come from behind and win that time. You don't get the draw, but you get Matt Tubbs to score. So you can kind of make your decisions that way, but I think for me, Leeds at 4-6 are definitely a play. They're definitely a play. I like the Leeds in both teams. I like Matt Tubbs. I think Leeds will win. This is one for your over 2.5 goal hackers, by the way, at 7-10. Your both teams to score at 7-10 is decent too. I think Leeds progress, but I think Sutton give them at least something to think about.
Okay, fair enough then. Just while we're talking about the FA Cup, there's something I forgot to mention earlier, just in the Lincoln game that we talked about. A tip that I'm going to put up on behalf of Dave Granger out in the office. He's a big Lincoln fan. He got me on a bet when I went to watch Lincoln with him away at York earlier this season. It landed then. I didn't back it. I poo-pooed him. But you can't argue with people that watch the same club week in, week out, and maybe know a bit more, perhaps, than the likes of us, or indeed the traders. Luke Waterfall, 5-1 anytime. Look, 5-1 is not knockout value on a centre-back, but he's in good goal-scoring form this season. I think he's got 4 or 5 so far this season, and he's the focal point for every attacking set-piece that Lincoln have. Worth a bet in that game. That one is 3 o'clock against Brighton, of course, on the Saturday.
The former Rochdale guy?
Oh, you got me now.
No, not Rochdale. I saw him score at the Pro Act. Scunny. I think he was at Scunny.
He was?
Yeah, that was it. I saw him score a late equaliser at the Pro Act when I was doing Chesterfield games. And he was a good defender. But yeah, I saw him score. That's interesting. Mm. I never thought about Luke Waterfall.
According to Wikipedia, the most reliable source out there, 12 goals in 61 games for Lincoln.
Which at 5-1 makes him value.
Which for a centre-back is obscene. But yeah, just worth a look. And I will say that for every single game that I can when I'm talk about Lincoln, which isn't many, although the cup run has meant that I can tip him up 2 or 3 times so far.
I was correct.
Yes.
He scored on the 10th of December 2013, a free kick whipped to the edge of the 6-yard box, which he nodded home.
Well done, Pete.
Thank you very much.
So yeah, just worth a look in that Lincoln game. And that's completely off topic because we've stopped talking about the games. And that was a game we're never going to talk about. So, yeah. Have that, listeners. Bonus tips. Right. Championship. The bread and butter. Let's return there. We've got
delicious butter.
What lovely butter.
Just very briefly, I'm going to again take us away from football. My girlfriend recently bought some of the butter that's it's a well-known brand, but it's the red version of it rather than the light blue or dark blue version of the well-known spreadable butter brand.
Got you.
And to be honest, it caused an argument. I mean, it was just disgusting. I mean, I know it's less salty or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. Disgusting.
Pete?
Yeah?
Why are we talking about butter?
Sorry, good point. Carry on.
5 games in the Championship, all Saturday, 3 o'clock. We are going to focus on 2 of them, and the other 3 Pete is going to include in a lovely little treble. So, we'll start with QPR Burton. QPR 5-4, the draw 23-10, and Burton are 11-5. Coming into this, QPR in 17th spot, Burton in 22nd. It's been exactly the season I would imagine that Burton thought it would be. I'd say they have neither exceeded nor disappointed in their expectations. QPR have been pretty disappointing on the whole, but their recent form has been pretty impressive. They drew at home to Fulham last time out. A win here for QPR, and you can pretty much say goodbye to relegation, barring an absolute collapse. There's a real incentive for them there, and at odds against, people will be perhaps keen to get on them while they're in a decent vein of form.
They will. I like QPR here. Burton have won just twice since October. They start the season, don't forget, really well. And everyone sort of excited to see what they would do, but their record, and kind of understandably, they are a small club, Burton. You know, their record just now is falling away. They've won once away from home this season. That was at Rotherham, a much worse side than QPR, albeit QPR, as you say, haven't covered themselves in glory generally. The last few games, though, they have played well. They beat Wolves, they beat Ipswich, they beat Reading, of course, and then they played well against Fulham. You know, we watched that game together, Alex, didn't we, in the William Hill office? Mm. And they played well in that game. And Fulham had to kind of claw their way back into it. Yes, toward the last 10 minutes, it looked like Fulham could go on and win it. But QPR still did well, and Fulham are a good side. I can't see, for me, how QPR aren't a little bit of value here. if I'm perfectly honest with you. Now, with his recent record of scoring away from home, I'm still happy to play Jackson Irvine at what continues to be a huge price. He's 13-5 for this game, Jackson Irvine. He's scored in two of the last five Burton Albion away games as the Australian, 8 goals this season. He's a player who might actually not even be there come the beginning of February. It might well be one of his last games, Jackson Irvine. But 13-5 is good, because I do think QPR concede. They tend to. I mean, they beat Wolves, but conceded. They beat Ipswich, but conceded. So you have to be with, I think, that kind of bracket, that kind of area. You're looking at your overs. You're looking at both teams to score. Now, Idrissa Sia's sort of re-emergence from injury has been very helpful indeed to QPR. He's 7-4 as well, been scoring recently, bagged against Wolves, bagged against Ipswich. Came very close in the game the other day. So 7-4 is good for him. If you fancy Ryan Manning to get 2-2, then 5-2 for him. But for me, Alex, I don't know if you agree or not, I don't ever want my money with Burton, no matter the price, when they're away from home. At the Pirelli, I think they can keep it tight and they can grind things out. Away from home, they've just been exposed too often. And while QPR is still a weird side, they're at least a side in decent form. And to get, at the time of recording, odds against on QPR will do me a treat.
I think I'd agree with you on that. QPR 5-4, certainly appealing in that clash. The other feature game we're going to focus on, Reading Cardiff, isn't it, Pete?
It is.
Reading 6-5, the draw 23-10. Cardiff are 23-10 as well coming into this. Reading, who I know you've been banging on about them for weeks and weeks, Pete. And, oh, it's Reading are great. Reading are, they were such a big price against Fulham. And I know that Fulham missed a last-minute penalty. And, you know, there was plenty going on in that game. But Reading went off at bigger than 2-1 at home to Fulham. And I don't understand that. I just can't understand it.
Was the Fulham game not the one that was called off?
Yeah, but it was called off. You'd gone for it originally, hadn't
you?
And then obviously they played it again. Tried again on Tuesday night. Reading won 1-0. Now, I don't particularly like Reading. I don't think that they should be fourth in the table. But that said, they are fourth in the table, and here they entertain a Cardiff side that are having a okay season. They're in 16th, but Cardiff are one of those sides for me that are very meh. I know they'd been in decent form prior to that defeat at Brighton, and at least they're organised now, but I just can't understand some of Reading's prices. And again, their odds against here, 6-5 is not wildly big, but it's still big enough. Would you take them again here?
Yes. That's the point I've been making for months, isn't it? We had 19-10s, 9-5s. Very quickly, because I backed Reading to beat Fulham, it was my nap and it was avoided.
No, stop it.
All right, worth a try.
No. Just for the record, I don't think that this price is crazily big, but I think in recent weeks they have been crazily big. This is maybe a point or two too big. In other weeks it has been, I don't want to say double what it should be, but to be fair, when it's bigger than 2-1, you've got a side that are fourth in the league against a side that are below them in the league. Honestly, I'd have had Reading at 6-5, 11-8 on that occasion. Anyway.
I agree. But that's the point we've been making for months, isn't it?
It is.
The league's best home side. You were getting the league's best home side at 6-5. Well, sorry, one of the league's best home sides.
Brighton are the best, yeah.
One of the league's, one of the two best home sides in the league, sorry. They've lost to only Villa and QPR at home this season. How many teams have Cardiff beaten on the road this season? I'll tell you three. Who are the three teams they've beaten? Bristol City, whose form is just terrifying, Forest and Rotherham. Those are the three places Cardiff have won this season. If they win at Reading, it would be very like the Championship. However, we can't bet on simply, well, typical, can we? We've got to bet on form, statistics and guile. And that, I think, is it's all pushing you the way of Reading. Why? I'd have Reading odds on here. No question would I have Reading odds on in this game. So even though 6-5 isn't gigantic, ginormous, you know, behemoth price, it's big. It's still big. And it's just as simple as that. Now, I'll tell you what else is big in this game. Roy Behrens is big in this game. Roy Behrens is 3-1, Alex. Okay? Roy Behrens, in Reading's last five home games, has 4 goals. Scored against Bristol City, scored a brace against Wednesday, didn't score against Norwich, didn't score against QPR, but scored against Fulham. He's 3-1 with his form, his home form at the moment. How does that grab you?
Tempting.
It's big, isn't it? I know McCleary at 15-18.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's big enough.
But also, this isn't a team where loads of people sort of have got loads of goals. They're all chipping in. That's how they're getting there. But Behrens form at the moment should not see that guy 8th down in the list. He shouldn't be 8th down that list. He shouldn't be behind Harrier or Williams or Swift even, who I know has scored recently, but he shouldn't be behind all of those with his current form. So 3-1 is fantastic. Cardiff aren't an away side for me, and that's fine for Warnock. He goes in, he makes him strong at home, he keeps him in the league. Big thumbs up, move on. You know, great. You can't argue with that. And Reading's last 5 matches, they've only won 2 of the 5, admittedly. But then you look, well, hang on. One of those was at Derby, where they narrowly lost, but Derby are a decent side. The QPR they'll be disappointed with. And the other one was at Manchester United. Giant shrug. Giant shrug. 2 of those away from home. Their home form is too good. And Cardiff's last 5 games? Good form. I mean, let's be fair. Good championship form for Cardiff. Exactly what they'd need. They beat Burton. They beat Villa at home. They went to Bristol City and won. But this is a different kettle of fish. And even though, yes, it would be like the championship if they weren't to win this game, they will, for me, still win this game, Reading. And I think the price, the 6-5, I mean, you can slather me in that, Alex, if you want.
No, thanks. I'm okay.
All right, fine.
Still quite an appealing price, not an appealing proposition there from Pete Farries. Right, I will leave it to you then, Pete, to rattle through the other 3 games, Norwich, Birmingham, Preston, Ipswich and Rotherham, Barnsley. Do them in whatever order you want. I'm not going to be the judge here. Then we will hear your nap. Then we will hear from Gav Puchalowski on League One. Then we will hear from Al Ross on League Two. And then we'll be back next week with a full championship programme. Woohoo! Until then, listeners, best of luck with any bets you have in the championship or the FA Cup. I'll now hand you over to my trusty accomplices, starting with Pete Farries.
It's been 8 games for Gianfranco Zola since he controversially took over from Gary Rowett, and it's an intriguing stat to note that he hasn't yet won a game. 4 draws and 4 losses for the former West Ham manager. He is a man who is not at the moment enjoying his new role. I don't think, by the way, it will get any easier going to Carrow Road to take on Norwich on Saturday. Norwich in the market at 3-4, the draw 13-5, and Birmingham 15-4. But it's a 3-4 that I personally would be investing a bit of money in. You look at Norwich's form on the face of it, and it's 2 wins, 2 losses and a draw from 5, which, for a side like Norwich, isn't exactly magical. You break it down to their home league form, and it starts to look a great deal better for Alex Neil. 4 wins from 5 for Norwich at home, and the one they didn't win was against a talented Huddersfield Town side. In Birmingham's favour and in their defence as well, while they've won just 3 away games so far this season, they've also lost only 4, those being at Newcastle, Derby, Forest and Burton. Away from St Andrews was a problem, even under Gary Rowett. But certainly Norwich, even without Nelson Oliveira, are the play here at 3-4. While Oliveira had been scoring freely recently, a hat-trick at home against Derby, he scored of course in that game against Brentford, at home against Villa as well, I still think there is enough in this Norwich City side to see them over the line. Whether you want to play Jacob Murphy, who has been on the goal-scoring charge recently at 13-8, Stephen Naismith has bagged recently at 9-5, or for me, the hugely underrated Alex Pritchard, who's at 7-2, I think the best bet would still be Robbie Brady. This is a man who will be absolutely itching to make an impression, with potential suitors apparently really sniffing around Brady more and more now. 7-2 for Brady could be interesting. But there's no argument for me, really, that would push me the way of Birmingham City. In terms of their general form, don't forget, they have won just 1 game going back as far as the 26th of November. That was a 2-1 victory over Ipswich Town at home. But away from home, Birmingham are not to be played on the win. If they are going to do something positive, do look at the draw at 13-5. But for me, it's the Norwich at 3-4. I hear from quite a few listeners to this podcast, to William Hill's In Play Radio, and when you do, often the idea of a 2.5 ACCA seems to come up. It's a pretty regular request, and if you're thinking about one this week, then Rotherham against Barnsley has got to go onto that list. Over 2.5, by the way, 4-6 on the William Hill website. Rotherham are 19-10, the draw 13-5. Barnsley are 13-10. Over 2.5 has landed recently in Rotherham games in every single one of their last five matches. For Barnsley, a little less so, just 2 of their last 5. But we saw that crazy game between themselves and Leeds at Oakwell last weekend. They're a side who've always got goals both for and against them. Just 2 wins from 5 for Rotherham United, and those wins against the beleaguered away Norwich and against the beleaguered generally Wigan. And of course, losses against Burton and Leeds and Newcastle. Well, some have got merits and some haven't. But what's interesting to me here is that at the New York, Rotherham have been very good recently. They lost very narrowly to Leeds, narrowly to Burton as mentioned, but they beat QPR, they beat Wigan, and they beat Norwich. For Barnsley, who've obviously had that fantastic result over Leeds, brilliant. But they are losing players. James Bree, the next man out of the door. And I just think the equilibrium, despite that win over Leeds United in what was a, I think, pretty anomalous game, I think that there might be a bit of value on Rotherham United here. They're 19-10, which is a big price. I wouldn't be playing them anywhere near odds on. But draw no bet Rotherham, which would be my recommendation, is 23-20. You can play the plus a goal, of course, at 11-20. But I think Barnsley, the wheels are just coming off a little bit. They will be fine. They've had a great season. They're going to continue, I think, to improve under Paul Heckingbottom. But I think this is a game that actually, in a local derby, could well go the way of the home side. In terms of goal scorers, there are some brilliant ones in that Barnsley team. Bradshaw scored recently, Armstrong, Ryan Kent, an incredibly talented young man who came through the Liverpool Football Academy. But if I'm thinking a home side here, and a home side victory, it's likely that I'm thinking, well, a home side goal scorer. And Tom Adeyemi, of course, has got a couple of goals recently, 2 in 2 home games. Adeyemi in the market at a big 11-4. But Rotherham are a big price, I think. The best bet the over is goals, but Rotherham, I think, might just have enough to get past Barnsley. The other thing I'd say is the atmosphere there is going to be absolutely crackling in that game. While it's not a kind of a Sunderland Newcastle or a Liverpool Everton, there is still a real rivalry between these two sides. In which case, the red card in the match, yes, is 11-4. Best bet overs, but I think draw no bet Rotherham the way to go. There are a few questions in life that stick with us. Existential quandaries, if you will. What is the Bermuda Triangle? What is it to be human? Why do the microwavable meals that say pull on the corner, the cellophane corner on the tab, why does the tab just come away and you're left with your food inside the actual tub? You can't get it. It's trapped. It's jailed in this cellophane prison. But the question I ask myself quite a lot at the moment is, what are Ipswich? Because Neil McCarthy, on the whole, has done a very good job. Ipswich were one of the very few clubs who tried completely to adhere to the financial fair play rules. They sold players, they have kept going on a tiny budget, and McCarthy's never really had them worried about any kind of relegation. 14th at the moment, will probably be fine. Now, while the record of nothing happening twice in a row has just been broken by Ipswich, it still stands technically in the league, with one of those most recent back-to-back losses coming in the cup at Lincoln. So they are still a side who, since August, haven't had the same league result back-to-back. Straight away, that does prick up the ears. Perhaps it's worth backing Ipswich plus a goal, draw no bet, away at Preston. But only really good teams have won at Preston this season. Arsenal, of course, in the cup. Leeds, Newcastle, Fulham, Derby. You've got to be a good team. You've got to be a good team to go there. Even Barnsley early season when they were flying went there and won. So you've got to be a good team to win at Preston. And the job that Simon Grayson continues to do is, I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? 19-20 Preston, the draw 12-5, Ipswich in the market at 3-1. In terms of goal scorers, it's a little tricky, isn't it? But Jordan Hugill, with 7 league goals this season, would probably be the man. And, of course, having scored recently, they'd tick off on here. 13-8 on Jordan Hugill. But Ipswich have lost 4 of their last 5 away games and that kind of consistency, I am happy to back. So 19-20 Preston to win this game is a bet for me. So what's the nap? Obviously, we had a void, then we had the loss, of course. Brighton away at Preston. Well, for me, there's one very obvious one, because one of the league's best home sides are taking on a team who don't really win away from home. And at the end of the season, hopefully I'll finish, I'm sure I will do, in profit for this podcast, there'll be one team probably to thank for that, and that is Reading. At home against anyone in this league, I would consider them at 6-5. Cardiff away from home aren't brilliant, so I'll definitely, definitely consider them this weekend. It will come as no surprise, and I apologise for being boring, but my nap of the week is Reading to beat Cardiff at 6-5. The very best of luck.
My three favourite bets for this weekend in League One starts with my first bet, the 12:30 kickoff between Bristol Rovers and Swindon, which is just goals. I do like Bristol Rovers at 3-4. I think that's a fair play. Bristol Rovers' home form is very good. They've taken 12 points from the last 12 available, and Swindon away from home occasionally get a victory. They won last time at Bolton, surprisingly, but three defeats on the road before that. So Bristol Rovers 3-4 is fine, but do have a look at the goals at the Memorial Ground or the Memorial Stadium. Bristol Rovers lost 5-1 at home to Charlton, beat Bury 4-2, beat Coventry 4-1, beat Wimbledon 2-0, unders, and then wallop Northampton Town 5-0. So Bristol Rovers, in their last four games at home, have hit 15. And Swindon, away from home, conceded four at Sheffield United, two at Millwall, three at MK Dons, and one at Bolton. So they do concede on a regular basis. And in fact, it is seven games straight on the road that Swindon Town have conceded. So Bristol Rovers will win this for me, but there will be goals. It could be over 3.5, but I'm drawing the line at over 2.5 goals. Bristol Rovers win, and over 2.5 goals, 8-5, is my play in the 12:30 kickoff. My second bet is Scunthorpe at home to Port Vale. A victory for Scunthorpe will see them return to top of League One, replacing Sheffield United, who have a big dip in form. And the interesting thing about that is Scunthorpe could go top and still have a game in hand on the Blades. And Scunthorpe are at home to a misfiring Port Vale side, a Port Vale side who generally, as a rule, when they lose away from home, they're losing fairly convincingly. 4-0 away at Sheffield United, 3-1 at Bolton, 2-0 at Charlton, and 4-0 at Wimbledon last time they lost on the road. Minus a goal is landing a lot, and in fact minus two a lot for Port Vale when they lose on the road. And Scunthorpe at home, 4-1 against Swindon, 3-0 against Millwall, they hit 3 against Bury. I can tell you that I'm fancying Scunthorpe to put 3 or 4 past Swindon. And I think Scunthorpe minus 1 is a big play here. And that's my bet at 6-5 for Scunthorpe minus a goal at home to Port Vale. And my third and final bet is also my nap selection, because it's landed in 12 of 13 games at home for Bury. They are taking on Walsall. Bury are 11-8 to win. I think the best bet in this one is to just go for goals, 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 and more goals. Walsall are scoring goals away from home. They've scored in three of the last four on the road. But look at Bury's scorelines of late at Gig Lane. Lost 4-1 at home to Southend, 3-2 at home to Millwall, 3-2 against Oxford, 3-1 at home to Sheffield United they lost, and they beat Peterborough by 5-1. Overs, 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 overs. Over 3.5 and over 4.5 is landing a lot. Over 2.5 goals at Gig Lane has landed in 12 of 13 games, and that's why I'm taking this as my nap selection at 4-5 for over 2.5 goals between Bury and Walsall. My treble for this weekend's action is Bristol Rovers win and over 2.5 goals, 8-5 in the 12:30 kickoff. Scunthorpe minus a goal at 6-5 at home to Port Vale, and over 2.5 goals at 4-5 is my nap selection as well between Bury and Walsall. That treble is just under 10-1.
Did you win at 10-1 with last week's League 2 acca? This week, I'm going bigger. Slightly depleted in terms of games, the likes of Wickham and Accrington in FA Cup action. Wickham also in action in midweek, of course, and with almost a reserve side, played Mansfield away in the Football League Trophy and they won. That, a first defeat in 8 for Mansfield, and will have angered the perennially angry manager Steve Evans. Already strong links with the likes of Exeter striker Ollie Watkins. If he's trying to get a reaction out of his dressing room, I think it's going to work. Particularly because Leighton Orient are in town. 3 straight defeats, 4 straight away defeats, 6 defeats in 7 on the road. Francesco Bocchetti looking to sell the club and announcing it while taking sideswipes at some of the players that have come through the Orient door. More fan protests look imminent. And Mansfield may have played a midweek, but Orient didn't. They didn't last week either, because their pitch was frozen, and now they're in for a battle against a physical Mansfield side who'll be even more up for the fight than usual. Wouldn't surprise me if Mansfield were to win 2-0 at 17-10, and if the out-of-form Matt Green at 29-20 didn't suddenly find the net again with the threat of a new frontman being touted. The outright, though, 4-5, absolutely fine as it stands. Odds on at home, boring, right? Anyone could have picked that. Time for a biggie. Exeter, 18-5, Barassi. There are the Portsmouth side, who have looked better in recent weeks. They're averaging just under 2 points a game at home this season, so I'll try and make this convincing. Another of those sides, Portsmouth, who didn't play last week because of a frozen pitch. And as if I need to remind you, this is not the same Pompey side who won the FA Cup. They just signed a 23-year-old used car salesman. Yes, they've won 7 of 12 home games in League 2 this season, but they have only won 3 of their last 10 on home turf, losing 4 of those in normal time and another on penalties. So this is not an unbreachable fortress. Also, more importantly, how on earth are Exeter being priced up at 18-5? Portsmouth have 23 points at home. On the road, Exeter have 28. They are the best away side in this division. Until mid-November, they only had 1 point at home and were mid-table because they were so good away. A record of 9 wins in 14, to be exact. And now they've got the home hoodoo nailed, they look pretty much unstoppable. Luton at home and Yeovil away in the Devon Derby were both 0-0. They are the only points Exeter have dropped in the last 8 games. In their last 4, all big wins, they've scored 14 and conceded 1, winning each by at least 3 goals. I remind you here, they are 18-5. The striker I mentioned being linked with a bid of over £300,000 from Mansfield is Ollie Watkins. 6 goals in 6, 4 goals in 4, 4 in his last 2 away. Write it how you like, still impressive. And he's 12-5 any time. That's madness. 16-1 for 2 or more. Ridiculous. A treble's not a treble without a third choice, and with the terrible Notts County and Newport both at home against sides who are terrible on the road, I'm not going to the usual touchstones. Instead, it's another big price, and it's Barnet at 13-5. They're at Carlisle, but the bottom's fallen out at Carlisle. They were title contenders and remained unbeaten at home all season till December, but it is 1 win and 1 draw in their last 5 since. Notts County, during that 10-match losing streak, remains Carlisle's only win, home or away, in 6. It is 2 wins in 10, and yet they are odds on to beat Barnet. Now, Barnet at home are dodgy. Talk to my season ticket holding mother, it's the first thing she'll tell you. A draw against Newport County last week underlines that, but they are a different proposition against teams who take the game to them. And that's underlined by their away form, 1 defeat in 8, 4 wins in the last 5 away from the Hive. It might be the least confident of the 3 shouts, but the price on them is frankly just wrong. Given there are 2 outsiders, the 4-5 on Mansfield has to be the nap. And having landed at 10-1 last week, I am going outlandish. Mansfield, Exeter, Barnet pays 28.8-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.